You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome into a Wednesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. It's another Blue Notebook show where David and I each scout a different NBA draft prospect, report back with pros and cons, player comps, and their fit with the Heat. I scout a Tennessee forward, Grant Williams, but we'll do him later. David, you had Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Let's start with some of his stats, his measurables, and then get into some of his pros and cons.
Sounds good. So first of all, you should know he's from Toronto, Canada. So, not the same path to the NBA as most of the entrants into the draft, but that didn't really matter. As far as his intangibles are concerned, or statistics rather, he's 6'5.5" with shoes. So that's something to consider. He's tall, weighed about 205 pounds, 6'9.5" wingspan. So above average wingspan length and height. So that's pretty good. He did spend 2 years in college at Virginia Tech. He turns 21 in September, so not too old. A little bit older than most entrants, I suppose. He started in every game that he played, so that's something. He did play 34 games his last year, and during that time span, he averaged 16.2 points per game, 4.1 rebounds, 4.0 assists, shot 47.4% overall, 37.4% from three-point range, almost 78% on his free throws. So pretty solid year for him. It was marked by the fact that he took over the lead ball handling duties when the primary ball handler, Justin Robinson, his teammate at VTech, went down with an injury. And so Nickeil kind of took over those responsibilities because he had been there as a two guard, and then he kind of shifted over and handled a little bit more of the point guard duties and actually turned out to be pretty good for him. So as far as his pros are concerned, like I said, excellent size and length. I think that's what a lot of people are banking on when they see his impact at the NBA. They're saying, you know, that he has the kind of size and physical tools to make an impact both offensively and defensively. Obviously, he's a very good shooter. Now, I mentioned 38% or just over 37% shooting from three-point range as a sophomore. His freshman year, he actually shot 39% on similar attempts, actually. 4.5 attempts in his freshman year, 4.6 as a sophomore. So,
He was around 150 attempts each year, so that's a good sample size.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. So I think we can count on him being a good shooter at the NBA level. He's cerebral, makes good decisions. I'd say he's almost kind of deliberate, to be honest with you. There's a definite pace to his game that I think is kind of held against him, but worked at the collegiate level, and I think can work at the professional level also, especially with Miami, something that we'll talk about later on when we get into a specific fit with the Heat. He's got good touch. I saw him use a couple of floaters with either hand, with the right and left. So he definitely has some offensive versatility there. I don't think he's a problem as a scorer, although some people do project that his offense isn't necessarily going to translate. And he actually was used pretty consistently as a legitimate post scorer because of his size and length. So I don't know that he's necessarily a polished post player, but he does have some decent moves down there, and he can score. Now, there are concerns about his strength and size. We'll get into those as a cons, but the fact that he took over for his teammate Robinson when he sat out with injury, to me, shows that he's got enough there to kind of make that leap, and he was able to take on that challenge. That, you know, there were some rough spots at first, but then this kind of played out pretty well, and to handle it as admirably as he did, I think shows that he has some flexibility and enough intelligence to kind of sit down there, watch game film, sit down there with his teammate and kind of go through the process and say, this is what I need to do better, and actually make that a reality. So I think the potential for him is pretty high. At the same time, there are concerns about how these kinds of tools, particularly because of his physical skills, are going to be able to translate to the NBA.
So it sounds like obviously the shooting
Is
there.
I should mention. I had another point there. Defensively, he's got, because of his length, he's got good anticipation when it comes to passing lanes. He had almost two steals per game as a sophomore. So he projects to be a high volume defender. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case, that's kind of, I think those numbers are kind of exaggerated a little bit, but either way, I did see a nice anticipation from them. And again, some of that cerebral approach to offense does show defensively as well.
I don't know if you're going to get into this in your cons, but you mentioned, okay, he's got the shooting. He mm-hmm. took on some point guard duties. He showed like some nice little touch with both hands. You always like to see that, but do you see him, like, what do you see his ceiling as far as like a crafty scorer goes? I mean, I like to think of guys like CJ McCollum who aren't like super athletes, and it doesn't sound like Nickeil Alexander-Walker is a super athlete, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're like CJ McCollum is similar, where he's not a super athlete, but with just diligent work and an innate feel for offense, he gets to his spots. He plays at his own pace, like you were talking about with Nickeil here. Do you see that sort of, maybe not a CJ McCollum comparison, might not be exactly right, but do you see what do you think his ceiling is as far as offense goes? Is he a three-level scorer? Like, how much development do you think he can make there?
I think that's fair, actually. I mean, not the McCollum comparison, but I think the possibility is there. It's going to take a substantial amount of work. I mean, again, there's good touch around the rim. He's got the strike from outside. I'm not sure if there's enough flexibility and versatility in his offensive game where he's going to be able to get past defenders because of his lack of explosiveness. Like CJ, for all that he has, or for all that he lacks as far as elite level athleticism, he's quick in a way that I did not see from Nickeil Alexander-Walker. And so okay. I think that could be a problem.
Okay. And then some of the cons?
He's undersized. Physically, you know, at 200 pounds, and that might be a little bit of an exaggeration there, he can be pushed around. He's got the kind of wide frame. He reminds me of, what was it, Justin Jackson, who was with the Sacramento Kings and now is with the Dallas Mavericks. So he's got...
Yeah.
He kind of got that wide frame, but not much on there. There's going to have to be some work done in order for him to put on a substantial weight, and in order, especially to defend at a high level. So that could be a problem. I saw him kind of over dribbling a lot at times. He could get kind of not bogged down with it, but just you know, not doing anything with the ball, and then make some careless passes too. So there were concerns that maybe he just takes a lot of chances that aren't necessary. So as much as I liked the cerebral approach and the deliberate pace, there are moments there where he kind of coughs up the ball needlessly. So, again, carelessness is a problem. The explosiveness or lack of explosiveness as an athlete, you know, that's why he's not projected as any higher. Like, I mean, for all the potential we see from other players, you know, if there's that explosive athleticism, like a Nassir Little, he lacks this, you know, Nickeil does. So there doesn't seem to be that kind of appealing athleticism and then the hope that maybe you can teach him everything else. So, in a way, I think he's kind of a good foil to, you know, Nassir, in that, you know, Nassir has all these physical tools and you're not quite sure how to put them all together. Well, Nickeil actually puts things well together, but he doesn't have the kind of explosive athleticism that a lot of GMs and scouts are raving about. So,
okay.
His shooting form, I've seen some, as far as his evaluation about it, all over the place. Like, some people say it's fantastic. Some people say it's wonky. I actually think it's kind of wonky, to be honest with you. It looks like his elbow turns out a little bit there. I don't think anybody's going to correct it. And the bottom line is it works. So I wouldn't see any reason to change it as far as I'm concerned. As long as it's continuing to knock down shots at such a high level, I don't see a problem in the future.
Okay. Is that it for the cons?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
So he sounds... So I think the concern when you're evaluating... When you're evaluating Nickeil Alexander-Walker is, okay, he's been able to produce at the collegiate level at Virginia Tech, but he wasn't a super high recruit. I mean, I think he was the 74th ranked prospect, according to scout.com, which is not, his top 100 is good, but he's not, like, we're not talking about, you know, an elite five-star prospect here either. So, you know, there have been these concerns even coming out of high school, but then, okay, he goes to Virginia Tech, he puts some things together, and he produces anyway. And he kind of works himself into the first-round type of player here, which is why we're talking about him with the Heat picking at 13. And, you know, does that mean then, okay, well, you doubted him once before coming out of high school. You know, it's kind of up to you to doubt him again coming out of college because this guy's just been able to produce again despite these concerns. Or do you just... Do you kind of take the stand where, all right, well, yeah, but the NBA isn't college. Like, the NBA has the best athletes on the planet. You know, Virginia Tech is a middle of the ACC type of basketball program. So, you know, do you have those concerns? How big of the concerns is the this overall lack of athleticism to you as far as, okay, can this guy could just sort of continue to do what he did against the elite athletes in basketball?
I think my bottom line for him is that he's going to be a good, solid, productive player. I don't see star potential from him at this point. And I mean, that's not to say that he can't reach it with enough diligent work, but I mean, that's the question with all NBA players. It's just, you know, he has enough talent. He has enough tools there. I just don't see it tying it all together. Okay. Plus the level of work that it'll take for him to develop his body to such a point. He's not going to get any more explosive. Can he get stronger? Absolutely. Can he get strong enough to absorb contact and get to the line more frequently, which is another concern of his? Yes, I think that's, you know, that can be something he can develop. But at this point in time, I see him being a really, really good, probably role player at best.
We'll get to our upside scale here in a second, but do you have any comps for him?
Yeah, player comparisons. Actually, his cousin, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is one. So I've seen that one. He's long, although I think Shai is a little bit, you know, he was a little younger coming out of Kentucky. Yeah. I think a little bit broader of frame, put on some weight in between his you know, freshman year at Kentucky and when he was initially drafted by the Clippers. So I don't know if the comparison is an exact
and a super athlete, by the way. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, yeah.
So, yeah, there's definitely that edge there. So I'm not sure why the comparison is made. I saw Jordan Clarkson, who also, again, streaky shooter, I think a better athlete overall. I'm not sure if that's a good one. Spencer Dinwiddie is one kind of like because that kind of length, the ranginess there, slight form. But again, he's put on the weight. He was a four-string backup point guard for the Detroit Pistons, and then he's playing just below an all-star level for the Brooklyn Nets. So, I mean, it took a lot of work to get there. So that's the potential is there, and the hope is there as far as where his ceiling might be.
I like the Dinwiddie comp. Defensively, you think that Nikhil Alexander-Walker can be kind of up there?
Yeah, okay. I think that's fair.
Okay. So upside scale then?
For me, I've got him as being a 30% fringe player, a guy who's just not going to be able to tie it together because of that lack of explosiveness where he just doesn't seem to figure it out. Maybe, you know, maybe he gets bossed around a little bit. Maybe he, you know, some of the things that as far as my concerns for him, you know, with the shooting mechanics is that it takes him a while to get that shot off because he kind of pulls it back towards his eyes a little bit and then kind of unhinges it more than just releases it. And so he comes off screens, gets that shot off, and that's great. But, you know, if he has space, he can unload, and that's his best skill, his best asset. I'm just not sure if when you're playing against NBA-level defense, if they're going to give him that kind of room. Now, obviously, you can find it, you can get it, you can improve to the point where you can create space more effectively, but that's my biggest concern for him. So 30% chance of him not being able to really tie it together, being a fringe contributor at best. Now, as far as being a rotational type player, being a good, solid contributor, I have him pretty highly ranked, about 69%. I mean, I could see him being a long-standing, you know, productive member of any team that drafts him. So, I mean, he's looked at as both a shooting guard or point guard combo, so he can come in there, make plays. He's more of a secondary player than anything else as far as a playmaker is concerned, but he can, you know, put enough out there. And so as far as all-star, superstar concerns, I don't really think that there's that potential there. I gave him a 1% chance of being an all-star. If you look at the Dinwiddie level, that's probably his best case scenario. And that's, you know, it would take more established point guards or two guards kind of falling out of the race due to injury and one really, really, really great season, 6, 7, maybe 8 years down the road for him to make an all-star team. But there's not really much of a chance. If I could have gone, you know, 0.03% chance, I probably would have done that.
Hmm. We're going to take a break here. We'll talk about how he'd fit with the Heat later on. But first, today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip, book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. Thanks to Untuckit for sponsoring Locked On Heat. If you're looking for a great Father's Day gift idea, Untuckit shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. Go to Untuckit.com and use the promo code NBA to get 20% off your purchase. Okay, so the scouting report on Grant Williams, 20-year-old power forward out of Tennessee. Stats really quick. 18.8 points per game, on 56.4% shooting. He also made 32.6% of his threes, only on 1.2 three-point attempts per game, and hit almost 82% of his free throws. Also had 7.5 rebounds, 3.2 assists, 1.5 blocks, and 1.1 steals per game at Tennessee. Very, very, very productive player. His combine measurables, 6'7.5" with shoes, a 6'9" and a 6'9.75" wingspan.
Let's just say 6'10", man. A quarter inch, come on.
6'10" wingspan. I don't know. It's still a little short. 240 pounds, low body fat.
He's solidly built, right?
Same height as Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Thought that was interesting. 40 pounds heavier, but...
Nickeil is...
Not the wingspan. They're listed at the same height, I think, on the NBA combine. I think Nickeil measured a little higher. With shoes?
No, he's shorter. He's 6'5.5" with shoes.
So Grant Williams, just the one liner on him. He's a small ball, kind of strong power forward with elite level feel and basketball IQ, and that's really the number one pro from him. It's evident. You watch one or two Tennessee basketball games, and you just see that this guy is operating at a different pace than everybody else. And when I say that, he just seems to be just one pass, one rotation ahead all the time on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. He's finding open guys with the ball in his hand. Again, a power forward with 3.2 assists per game. You do not see that a lot. And then defensively, he closes out quickly. He rotates. He's got timely rotations, especially on help side defense. That allows him to protect the rim really well from the weak side. You just love to see that. Out of guys at his position. Offensively, he's got a couple of pet moves. He's got a really strong drop step where he just will throw his shoulder into a player in front of him, or if there's no player in front of him, he'll just throw his shoulder in there anyway. He just sort of like aims for the area and then just goes for it. So I like when you see that, because he's not afraid of finishing through contact. He's not afraid of drawing contact, and he's got good feel in the paint where he can get that shot up and convert. So that drop step is a really nice pet move for him. Another one he's got is his turnaround jumper that he likes to go to a lot. I've got some concerns with it overall, but it's nice that he at least has that.
What are the concerns, or do you want to save those for the con?
Let's just do it now. That turnaround is nice in college. It's kind of like slow loading. It kind of feels like it's buffering.
Yeah, it's gonna get packed at the NBA level.
Exactly, and it's just they're gonna scout it. They're gonna contest it every single time. His strength is another big plus. It helps him again finish through the contact, but also it helps him in rebounding. We talked about his size, a little below average. Well, he's really strong. He just basically shoves dudes out of the way, and it helps him. He sets great screens, good solid screens, and when you put that strength combined with that overall feel and basketball IQ, I mean, you just have an elite screen setter right there, right? So that's going to be really helpful. And you can sort of see him, because of that screen setting ability and his passing ability, there's potential as a short roll playmaker. That short roll is kind of an in vogue term right now when you look at what Golden State does between Steph Curry and Draymond Green. Draymond sets the screen for Steph. Steph flips the ball to Draymond. Draymond takes a step or two, again, short roll. He takes a step or two and then kicks it out to a shooter in the corner or somewhere along the perimeter. Tennessee didn't do that with Grant Williams. They basically used him as a post guy. That it was just their offense. They weren't like a Warriors type of ball movement offense. But he's got the skills there. He has the tools there. So he's got the potential there, even though there wasn't a whole lot of proof of that when he was at UT. Also showed development on his outside jumper throughout his career. Obviously, he was shooting 33%. That 82% free throw clip is nice. That's a good indicator of good shooting. And the shot looks good. I mean, it's not perfect by any stretch, but it looks good. It's consistent. But he does need to expand to an NBA range and gain some confidence in shooting it, because he only shot like one three-pointer a game, and he seemed very reluctant to do more of that, even if they were open. This is kind of stepping onto my cons, but would oftentimes like have the open three there, and hesitate and then take two dribbles and end up pulling up from mid-range because he was clearly more comfortable in that area. So that's not good in the NBA level.
Yeah, that seems to be a lot of the knock on him, right, is that he has a pretty wide toolkit, but at the same time, just something he's not really, I mean, he's not really dipped into everything at the collegiate level, and so there are concerns whether or not he can show him at the NBA level.
Exactly. And one other con here, or one other pro here, uses his hands really well. I mean, I talked about the blocks and the steals, 1.5 blocks, 1.1 steals. For a dude his size, he shouldn't be getting 1.5 blocks per game. But he uses his hands really well. Great timing, exactly. And then the steals, I mean, he'll just poke the ball. I mean, the dude lives in the paint. He loves just being shoulder to shoulder with people, getting his butt into people, and then just getting up into people's grills. And he'll use his hands to just knock the ball away. Yeah. And he likes to then force transition opportunities out of that. So those are the pros. As far as the cons, that short wingspan, I think, is going to be tough. To overcome that, you have to be a really good athlete a lot of times, and he's just not. He's a very limited athlete. He uses every bit of athleticism that he has,
right. But
there's just not a whole lot there. And so you wonder, okay, short wingspan, small anyways at his height for his position, not a great athlete. I mentioned like the buffering on that turnaround jumper. I mean, he just doesn't even really get up high. I mean, you look at a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge who has a slow pace, but he's like 7 feet tall. So he's got that huge standing reach that he just gets the shot over guys. Grant Williams does not have that luxury, right? So he doesn't jump over anybody, so that could be pretty tough. His handle is pretty loose. When he gets those steals, when he knocks the ball away, he likes to try to force it in transition, which is good. You like to see that out of a collegiate player. You like to see that aggressiveness and that understanding that transition points are easier than half court points a lot of times. But that, like, he dribbles the ball way out in front of him, and it almost looks like he's barely got it under control. And I just see that getting knocked away a lot. And in fact, it does get knocked away a lot. His turnovers last year. I mean, I mentioned the 3.2 assists. He had 2.2 turnovers per game. Not a great ratio. But it's also the best ratio of his college career. He went to Tennessee for 3 years. I haven't mentioned that yet. But a three-year player, mostly a three-year starter at Tennessee.
Still only 20, too.
And still only 20 years old, yeah. But only one of these years, his junior year, did he average more assists than turnovers. Other than that, he was averaging more turnovers than assists. And I think a lot of that has to do just with his limited handle there. He needs to really tighten that up if he wants to be a force in transition. Let's see.
So can I ask a question? Like, how does he compare to, say, like a Brandon Clark in your view? In that he has, both of these guys have somewhat limited physical tools, maybe. In Clark's case, certainly the lack of wingspan. Yeah. Although he's more explosive. I mean, how does he compare?
The main difference is like Clark can get away with it because he's just going to jump over you.
Right.
And Grant Williams is not going to do that. But Grant Williams is a lot stronger than Brandon Clark. So they're similar in that, like, okay, where do we put this guy? And that's going to be Grant Williams' major question mark right now is like, where do we play him? Because you hear all these things and you're like, okay, well, Draymond Green's doing just fine, PJ Tucker is doing just fine. One of the knocks against Grant Williams, he's not the athlete that even PJ Tucker is, let alone Draymond Green. And I don't think that defensively he has the same sort of chops. And you need to be an elite defender. You need to be able to switch. And I don't even know if Grant Williams is going to be able to switch defensively. He does struggle to stay in front of ball handlers. And so now you're looking at him as possibly a guy who can guard threes and fours, maybe and fives in small ball scenarios, right? Like but he's not going to be a guy necessarily who's going to be able to get out there and switch. I mean, he's going to have to improve a lot. You know, I think that a lot of players right now spend the summer working on their hips and their mobility. I could see that being a major opportunity for Grant Williams to improve in that area, to get more flexible and more fluid, to stay in front of those guys, but right now he has a hard time doing it. So I don't, like, again, he kind of has the outline of this small, like the perfect small ball four, which is why you've seen guys have him in the lottery. But he's actually recently dropped out of the top 25 or the top 30 even on some other pro scouts' big boards because, really? I think it's, okay, well, he's got this, like, if you squint, there's this outline of the perfect small ball four, but does he really have the athleticism needed to put it together? And there's just, PJ Tucker and Draymond Green, everybody wants those guys, but those are kind of the only guys who are that. There's not a whole lot of those guys in the NBA, right? Like, most of these small ball fours are still lanky, like 6'10 guys, you know, that can kind of move, like the Pascal Siakams are kind of the new template for that, the Jonathan Isaacs are the new template for that, not necessarily, you know, pudgy PJ Tucker, who was out of the league for 4 years. You know what I mean? So that's the concern with Grant Williams. And then just to wrap it all up, the comps for him are PJ Tucker, Boris Diaw, like Spurs Boris Diaw.
Yeah, I can't see that.
And then shout out to Tony East for doing this one. I really liked it. The power forward version of Kyle Lowry.
Ooh.
I kind of love that comparison. So people want to make the Draymond Green comparison, but when you really watch Grant Williams, he's just not that yet. I mean, from maybe like in between the ears, possibly, but just Draymond Green is a much better athlete than Grant Williams. It doesn't quite work there. So, yeah, power forward Kyle Lowry. That's my favorite one. Or Boris Diaw.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great if he had the off-the-court approach to life that Boris does. I'm just not sure I see it. yeah, I mean, he sounds like an interesting player. Like, I know we'll get into it when we specifically get into his fit in Miami, but the approach to the game and the kind of anticipation and the cerebral approach, the high basketball IQ, those seem kind of like perfect for Miami, right? Like, he's the kind of guy who they'd feel comfortable plugging him in right away, I think, and playing him, maybe even giving him a starting position because of his level of play and because of his IQ and his approach to the game.
There are people that love Grant Williams. I think it's going to be similar to his comps. Like, Boris Diaw was great in the Spurs. He kind of was not good everywhere else he played.
It took him a long time to get there. He put on a lot of weight. I mean, weren't they trotting him out as a point guard in Atlanta at some point?
Yep.
I mean, it was hard to figure out. And Charlotte, the Bobcats there when they had the worst record in NBA history.
He was miserable there. Yeah.
Yeah. Good sense.
As far as my upside scale, I've got him as a fringe player at 15%. I just, at the end of the day, I think he's just been so productive, and he is so strong.
And smart.
And so smart that he just will find a, place. Like, he will just, he might not be a super athlete, might not have great size. But you put him on a second unit, and that becomes less of an issue, right? So at the very least, he'll become a second unit guy. So that's why I have his contributor level at 80%. I think that's his sweet spot. He'll be anywhere between your fifth and tenth guy, and ninth guy. He'll be anywhere in between there for most of his career. All-star, I have 5%, only because, all right, I don't know. Like, I almost didn't want to go that high, but he put up 19 points per game. He's got some nice moves. Like, he could figure it out. I don't know. I just, like, I put it at 5%, and then superstar got 0%. You're just never going to be one of the top 15 or 20 players in the league if you, with that kind of athleticism, those kind of natural limitations. So, that's where I've got him. Let's take a break here after we'll talk about how both of these guys would fit with the Heat. But first, today's show is brought to you by Grip 6. Looking for a great Father's Day gift? Grip 6 belts are ultra lightweight with no holes and no flap, which equals no bulk. Go to grip6.com/lock for a special offer. And remember to get this show every day. Subscribe to Locked On Heat on the free Himalaya podcast app. It's the perfect place to listen to the podcast that you love and discover new favorites to listen to. Check out their playlist and share and comment on your favorite shows and episodes. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Heat. Thanks to our sponsors, Hotel.com, thank you to Untuck It, and thank you to Grip 6 Belts. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. All right, potential fit of Nickeil Alexander-Walker and Grant Williams. Let's start with Alexander-Walker. David, what do you think? If the Heat are on the clock at 13, Alexander-Walker's there. We've scouted a lot of different guards, Romeo Langford, Kevin Porter Jr., Coby White. Where does he rank as far as those guys go, and how do you see his potential fit with Miami?
I don't see him ranked anywhere near as high there. There are concerns there regarding his physical tools and how he's able to tie those all together, and I just don't see any world where he could be drafted at 13th. Like, I mean, I don't see Miami taking a chance on a player like that, because while, you know, Grant Williams has the IQ, and that's not to say Nickeil does not, he doesn't have it at the same level, so I just don't see that. He's not going to be their 13th pick. Now, could Miami trade down a couple spots? Sure. I've seen the Magic and the Pistons both as teams that are interested. They need a backup point guard and a secondary scorer, somebody like that who can come off the bench. And so that makes a lot of sense for those two teams. Not to say that Miami couldn't use a player like that, but I just don't know that the need is as great. They need somebody that has a little bit more burst, some kind of superstar level potential, even however slight it might be at the 13th overall pick. I think they need somebody a little bit greater, a little bit better. You know, it projects to be a potential star at some point.
And chances are, I mean, Porter, Langford, they're going to be on the board. One of those somebody, should at least be on the board by the time the Heat
pick. Kobe White's gone, right? I mean, at this point.
It sounds like he's got a promise in the top 6 or 7 of the draft, right?
And I think I have not heard that.
Yeah, I think there's a Kobe White room here. Let me look it up really quick. But I think that would be the Heat dodging a bullet. I think everybody wants to – they project his shooting and his fit. Yeah, Kobe White has a top 6 promise in the draft, which is the new
rule. Top 6?
Yeah, which would actually mean – I mean, he's probably going to get picked over Jarrett Culver or DeAndre Hunter.
Wow.
Yeah, which means Culver could potentially drop. I don't see him dropping all the way to Miami at 13, but he could drop. And I think people just fall in love with his shooting. And again, small hands. Got to watch out for that.
Cleveland, I've seen a mock draft right now where it looks like Cleveland is the team to take him. I mean,
Cleveland, there's rumors that Cleveland has already promised Cam Reddish, too. Well, at 5,
making
right?
promises all over the place.
Yeah, promises everywhere. There's a couple other guards, too. I mean, we talk about Tyler Herro out of Kentucky. We haven't done his scouting report yet, but he's another guy who's sort of in that Nickeil Alexander-Walker, like kind of, all right, maybe mid-first round, a little bit past the lottery, but I've even heard things where Harrow could kind of sneak it to the end of the lottery here, which is right where Miami is. But ultimately, I think we like Porter and Langford. Alexander-Walker, I didn't mention this, but a Malcolm Brogdon comparison, does that make sense based on what you're talking about? Like kind of this combo guard guy, can shoot from the outside, slow pace to his game, not going to turn the ball over a bunch.
I saw that comp, I think it was the Ringer, I think Kevin O'Connor, and I went back and I looked at Brogdon's collegiate highlights, and you know, obviously you can't glean much from just a few videos, but I don't see it at all, to be honest with you.
Better athlete?
Maybe the kind of slower pace, yeah, I think so, and definitely much stronger, too, so like he's got the upper body strength that allows him to be a better defender, I think, than Nickeil will be at the NBA level.
So as far
I mean, it's potential. I mean, he can reach that. I mean, he just has to do a significant amount of work to get there.
And you know, part of what makes Brogdon so successful is that he's playing next to Giannis, right? And he don't have that.
That does help.
Grant Williams. So I was prepared to love this guy.
Hmm. You did say that to me before. I sent you that piece by Tony East, and you were like, "Oh, I'm starting to love this guy." It changed.
Yeah, shout out to Tony East. He did a great piece for Forbes. Shout out to Jackson Frank, who did an awesome piece for the Step Back, both scouting Grant Williams. Recommend checking those out. It didn't change. I kind of really like this guy.
Yeah.
I have real concerns about him, though. Like, I'm excited to watch him at the NBA level. I'm excited to see what he can become. I don't think he's a good fit for Miami. I'm like excited to see where he goes. But like to me, he needs to go somewhere where he can contribute right away, and he could be... So, people are going to want to use him like the Rockets use P.J. Tucker. He needs to almost... Like, defensively, I mean.
Sure.
But I don't think... I almost see him more as like Harrison Barnes defensively. Strong, stout, good on-ball defender, good timing, stuff like that. I think he could be a notch above Harrison Barnes as far as defending.
Barnes can switch, though.
Barnes can switch 3 to 4 pretty easily, but struggles when you get him in front of a power forward or a ball handler, I mean.
Yeah.
So I think, like, there's a little bit of switchability there. It's just not a whole lot. Like, it's just, like, not as much as you'd expect. Okay? So maybe Harrison Barnes isn't the perfect example, but... as far as just sort of those limitations, despite the expectations, he kind of reminds me of that defensively. But he also doesn't have the size of Harrison Barnes. But, I think if the Lakers were still picking at 12, that would make sense for me. Where you just slot Grant Williams in there, he could just guard the other best forward on the team so LeBron didn't have to do it. Like, that would make sense, but the Lakers are picking at 4. So I don't really know where he ends up, but I don't think it's going to be with the Heat at 13. Especially when... Look, Bam, I've said this before, I think you need to put like a legitimate 7-footer next to Bam who could really rebound and clear some space, and stretch the floor. I don't know that Grant Williams is the best fit next to Bam. I think you're just giving up a little too much size there. And where Bam is still an elite athlete, I think you need a little bit more skill in that front court if Bam's going to be your center. So, to me, yeah, I like him. I just don't like him for the Heat.
I mean, I'm looking at a mock draft right now where he's dropped all the way into the second round.
Yeah, yeah. I think people have real concerns. I mean, So, first of all, his wingspan was not as good as people wanted to. That's one of the things that dropped him after the combine was people were like, okay, well, he's 6'7 and a half, but he's probably got like a 7-foot wingspan. Yeah. And I think you just get fooled because he uses everything he's got so well. It's like, oh, his timing looks like he's getting all these blocks. He must have like a 7-foot wingspan. No, it's like it's not even 6'10". I think that hurts.
He seems the kind of guy who could be a real steal if he gets like some potential like playing time, but if it has to be like the perfect fit for him, somewhere between a veteran team that already has top end talent, so he can just slide in there. I mean, as a bench player, a backup player, maybe to like a playoff contending team.
I like Brooklyn at 17.
Okay,
like you put him next to Jared Allen. Jared Allen's so big and athletic. Like, okay, you're not worrying so much about your front court athleticism anymore or size. Like, that makes a lot of sense to me.
I was just thinking about this as a comp. Does he match up with, say, like a Justin Anderson type? Just kind of that stocky, undersized body a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's just got such a next, like, physically, yeah, but just like he's got such a next level feel for the game.
Something Anderson does not.
Right. Oklahoma City at 21.
Ooh.
That would be a great fit for him. That would be a great fit for him. By the way, I think Grant Williams is going to be really good. I just think at some point, people say you can't teach athleticism, and that's the knock against Grant Williams. You also can't teach what he has as far as, again, elite feel. Like, nobody in this draft has a head-over-shoulders better feel for the game than Grant Williams does. Nobody
has. That's a nice front court there with Paul George, Steven Adams, and Williams. I mean,
yeah, that works well.
They've got Grant there. They tried getting one of the Morai twins there. I mean, I like that. Yeah. That fit, actually. That's a good one.
It'll be good for them. I hope they enjoy him. Miami needs to take a swing for the fences, though. All right, any other thoughts before we close out here?
No, I was just thinking about Nikhil. I mean, like, he could be... He's a good change of pace. Well, not necessarily a change of pace. He's a guy who is, you know, again, deliberate as far as his pace and approach. So maybe in that second unit, you know, obviously Justice plays at a pretty slow, deliberate pace in the starting unit. Would that be similar if you have Nikhil coming off the bench in that kind of role?
Oh, that's interesting.
He would be playing alongside Goran Dragic, probably. At least that's where we project Goran coming off the bench, if he's still part of this roster.
Yeah.
Now, there are concerns about his defense in that he gambles a lot, and you know, that's why he gets those kinds of steals. But if Hassan's coming off the bench, that kind of works towards his favor. He could be one of those guys that kind of puts pressure on ball handlers out on the perimeter, and if they manage to get past him, then they face this wall of Whiteside there. So it could work somewhat as far as a good defensive player on the second unit. I don't know. I think a lot of people are hoping that the 13th pick translates into, you know, a swing for the fence, as you said. So, and I don't see him being that kind of swing.
And I think overall, the problem that we get into when you start getting into draft comps and stuff, and they're a lot of fun, and I actually think you can get a lot out of them, but you really got to think hard of the comps. Don't get lazy with the comps, because with both of these players, I think there's the Malcolm Brogdon thing, there's the C.J. McCollum thing that I've seen out there. With Grant Williams, there's the lazy Draymond Green comparison. And even the P.J. Tucker comparison, which I love less than the power forward Kyle Lowry and Boris Diaw comparisons for Grant. But you fall into those comparisons. You fall into how that player, not the prospect, you fall into what P.J. Tucker or Malcolm Brogdon or these guys would look like on the Heat or whichever team you're scouting for, and not necessarily the prospect. And I think that that's sort of why those are the knocks against these guys. When you really do your homework on these guys, there are real limitations that you have to factor in. And if you have a roster that can cover up for those limitations, then go for it. But if you don't have the roster that can cover up those limitations, well, don't expect either of these guys to suddenly be a transformative player for you and cover up all these other limitations, because they're just not going to do that. So I think that's kind of the name of the game with these two guys. I like both of them. I think both of them are going to be good NBA players if they end up in the right spot, and I don't think it necessarily is Miami. So
that's a good point.
Thanks for listening. Connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.